Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Continuing our look through many views and perspectives of what's likely to be the State of the Union moment this week, the State of the Union address is explicitly about what just happened, the State of the Union. When President Obama delivers his address tomorrow night, some folks will be looking for hints about where the president thinks we're headed. Democrats, of course, are hoping for some political hints for the 2012 election. But others will be wondering where the president believes his real allies and adversaries are in the world. Should he make it into a second term and the chance to set the geopolitical tone of the coming decade? George Friedman joins us now. He's the author of the new book, The Next Decade, Where We've Been and Where We're Going. Good morning, George.
Good morning. How are you?
Barack Obama's election as the first African-American president was certainly the culmination of the last decade. If he is elected to a second term, he has a chance to set the tone, as I mentioned, of this coming decade. Where do you think he should be aiming?
Well, where he was aiming was to try to redefine U.S. relations with the world by moving away from what he felt was Bush's confrontationalism, unilateralism. That hasn't really worked in the sense that the relationships he has around the world are not all that much different than the ones that Bush had. He remains caught in Iraq. He remains even more aggressive in Afghanistan. The Europeans are not particularly more forthcoming, even though they may be more friendly. The Russians are suspicious. The Chinese are hostile. One of the interesting things is how little what were his genuine intentions in changing the tone of America's relations with the world and what happened. There are a lot of constraints on the way the United States can behave and the way the world perceives it. And I think one of his problems now is to settle into the reality. And that reality may be uncomfortable, which is that the way the world was under George Bush may not be all that different than the way it is under Barack Obama.
So you're saying his opening to the Muslim world has political limitations. It's not going much farther than rhetoric. If he is to actually address and create relationships that are going to dynamically move the world forward, where would he look?
Well, he has to look in the Islamic world. But the question is whether or not the Muslim world simply misunderstands the United States, and if we're nicer, they're going to treat us differently, or there are fundamental and serious differences in national and regional interest. In the case of Iran, for example, there are fundamental differences between the United States and Iran as to what we want. And Iran is approaching a crisis state, not because of the nuclear question, which everyone's focused about, but by the fact that the United States is about to withdraw its last forces from Iraq, according to President Obama. In which case, it's highly probable that Iraq is going to fall into the Iranian sphere of influence. The Iranians are very influential. In which case, the entire balance of power in the Persian Gulf is about to shift. So this is not a question of understanding each other, liking each other. The Iranians want to dominate this region. The United States doesn't want them to dominate the region. There are decisions that the president has to make, and some are going to be painful.
Short of ordering an open-ended military commitment to Iraq, which would be the only sort of obvious antidote to what you're saying there, do you anticipate the president doing something like, we will speak with our enemies directly in North Korea and in Iran to forge a permanent relationship and a peace that we have not had up till now?
Well, the question is not whether we speak to them. It's what we say to them and what they say to us.
I think it's the Nixon go to China argument.
It's very much so. And in fact, I expect there to be an opening to the Iranians. The question is why the Iranians need an opening from us. The Iranians have behaved fairly self-confidently and arrogantly, and it seems not to be rational. But from their point of view, it's quite rational. They are the major conventional power in the region, except for the United States. If the United States leaves, they reshape the region. If the United States stays with 50,000 troops, the Iranians have the option of reopening hostilities, inflicting casualties on the United States, and so on. The president faces the choice of building up in Iraq, which he can't really do because he simply doesn't have the forces, withdrawing and letting the chips fall where they may, carrying out a major air campaign against Iran, which I think is a very risky thing to do for the United States, or opening negotiation with Iran, which gives Iran some substantial concessions as to status in the region. I suspect that this is what he wants to do, but he's not Nixon. where Nixon could have an opening to China and not be attacked from the right, Obama's opening to Iran is much more difficult to do politically. Mm-hmm. And so he's in a very difficult position. And all the rhetoric in the world won't solve it.
Well, in your book, it lays out very quickly all of these political realities and the ways in which the president is constrained. Any president is constrained. So what do you think are the opportunities in which there actually is wiggle room, both politically and economically, for the president to do something different on the world stage?
Well, he has to take a leadership position. He has to shape public opinion. He has to show that he is prepared to take steps in the event the Iranians don't cooperate. In other words, you're not going to get the Iranians to cooperate with the United States unless they're a little afraid of the United States, or actually a lot afraid. He's got to be able to be convincing in any negotiation that he has options other than talking.
Although the question domestically in Iran may be driving things more than what the U.S. says to Iran, and these things can be hard to gauge. I mean, I'm just wondering if Iran as a major theme of the next decade is backward-looking rather than forward-looking. And these things are hard to get right. I mean, you wrote a book in 1991 called The Coming War with Japan. I don't remember that one actually happening.
Well, since I predicted it would happen sometime in the middle of the century in the book, I'm still safe. Okay.
Safe. You're still on the...
Yeah, I'm still okay, and I still believe, you know, that'll happen. But the crucial question here is, it's very nice to say it's from the last decade, but it's an unsettled issue. And last week we had a meeting between the permanent members of the Security Council over the nuclear question. And we have been obsessed with the nuclear question with Iran when there are a bunch of other issues that have to be addressed. If Iran gets a nuclear weapon, it's a dominant power in the Persian Gulf. If it does not get a nuclear weapon, it's the predominant power in the nuclear Gulf.
North Korea has a nuclear weapon. Will the Korean Peninsula explode in this decade?
I can't imagine it. They sort of have a nuclear device. There's a big difference between a device that you can explode an underground bunker and a weapon that you can use effectively.
So you see Korea settling down and Iran heating up in this decade?
I see Korea having a wonderful way of making money. Every time they need cash, they do something dastardly and somebody pays them to stop doing it. Iran is a much more serious question because it occupies the most strategic region in the world, the Persian Gulf.
All right. We will see how much of Iran is in the State of the Union address tomorrow. George Friedman will certainly be watching. He's the author of The Next Decade, Where We've Been and Where We're Going. Thanks so much, George.
Thank you.